Gospel of John chapter 15 is where we'll be at this morning. We're going to look at verses 1 and through verse 11. I want to get all of these in. I failed miserably in getting everything done in the Bible class this morning as I taught it. But I do and must get this done today. Verses 1 through 11. And we're going to title this message, Fruit Bearing. The radio broadcast will be along the same line, but it'll be from the same text, but it'll be the condensed version. You're getting the full version here this morning. I think this is a very important text of Scripture. Fruit bearing. It's God's will, after that you're saved, to produce fruit. Does everybody in the house agree with that? Now, to produce fruit simply means is if you want to put a plain term to it, would be to do good works. We believe in doing good works. God's people need to be do-gooders. Now, what you need to understand about that is we don't do good to try to earn heaven. You can't do enough good to earn heaven. We're going to heaven because Christ died for our sins and rose again the third day. That's why we're going to heaven. But now that we are saved, we want to serve Him. We want to bring glory to Him. And one of the things this text says in John chapter 15, look at verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. When you bear fruit, it brings glory to God. That's why you want to live for Him, is to bring glory to the Lord. In the book of Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. We live in a time, especially in the United States today, we live in a time where the name Christian don't mean anything anymore. It used to mean something at one time and implied someone that had trusted Christ and lived for Christ. Now today you got people that claim to know Christ and their life is lived for the world and the things of the world can tell no difference between them and the world. It ain't to be that way. Can't be that way, and it must not be that way. He taught in this text that God's people need to be fruitful to bring glory to the one that saved them from their sin. And don't you want to do that? Don't you want to bring glory to the one that saved you from their sin? Well, it's going to be 3 points this morning. And we're going to look, first of all, in verses 1 and 2 at the branches. There's two types of branches in this context. Then we're going to follow that up then by looking at the key. The branches is the first point. The second point is the key to producing fruit. So you just write down the key. There's a key to producing fruit. I don't want you to see it in the context. And then number 3, the blessings. There's blessings that comes when God's people produce fruit. You got those three? I'll give them to you as we go down through here again. But those three point outline here today, you write it down, and it's all laying right here in this text. The branches and the key and the blessings. That's what we're going to look at today. Okay? Now let's get the occasion of this thing. When it's happening, Jesus had just left the upper room. If you look back at verse 31 of chapter 14, it says in the latter part where it says, arise, let us go hence. He's leaving the upper room. He just instituted the Passover. You know where he's going? He's going to the Garden of Gethsemane. You know what's going to happen there? He'd be arrested. And the next day, he'd be nailed to a cross. You say, Jeff, did he know all those things? Absolutely. They were planned before the foundation of the world was ever laid. And he knew it. He knew his time. He knew his date. He knew it all. So he was heading that way. And as he was going, he has his 11 with him. I didn't say 12, did I? I said 11. Judas had done left. Judas had done departed from them. He done showed what he was. And he departed to betray him for 30 pieces of silver. So this is the occasion. And now as he's going towards the Garden of Gethsemane, he's addressing his 11 with regard to fruit bearing. Fruit bearing. And you know what we're doing today? We're taking Jesus' message. We're bringing it down to 2009, and I'm teaching you on fruit bearing. Same thing. It's God's will if you're here today and saved. It's God's will that you produce fruit. It's God's will that you do that. Why? To bring glory to Him. And it's also good for you. It's also good for you, too. You'll see that when we look at the blessings. Are you ready? All right. He draws an illustration. I love when people use illustrations, but I love especially when the Master uses illustrations. Jesus said, I'm the true vine. I'm the true vine. This is one of the great I am statements of Christ. Now, when he says he's the vine, that means he's the trunk. Okay? I mean, the trunk of that is that which goes down into the ground. You got the roots. And then you got the trunk that comes up that makes the grapevine. You ever got that in your mind? Jesus said, I'm the vine. I'm the vine. Now, if you look on down in the end of the text, he says that they were the branches. And as you look down at verse 5, I'm the vine. And what's it say? You're the branches. Everybody got that? Everybody got the picture? So picture in your mind a grapevine. And, of course, they were acquainted with that in Israel. They was acquainted with grapevines. They were acquainted with farming and all this, like it was an agricultural place. And then Jesus said, I'm the vine. I'm the trunk. And the little shoots off the vine is the branches. He said, I'm the vine. You are the branches. That's what he's saying. Now, he also mentions his father. He says, my father's the husbandman. You see that in verse 1? He's the one that takes care of the vine. He's the one that takes care of the branches, I should say. He's the one that takes care of them. Now, why is he pointed out? Well, if you've ever planted tomatoes, I did it twice, I think. But anyhow, anybody plants tomatoes or any kind of crop, they're the husbandman. They're the one that takes care. You take someone that has a pretty garden and they take care of it and they watch after it and they keep it pruned and watered and weeded and all those things, they get glory when it produces fruit, don't they? Well, the father's the husbandman. And when these branches produce fruit, who gets glory? The husbandman does. See, that's what it's all about, bringing glory to the husbandman that is in charge of the branches and the vine. Now, let's look at two types of branches. If you're here today and you've made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, I don't know when you've done that. I hope you have. Hope you've made a profession of faith. There needs to be a day and a time in your life when you have called upon Jesus' name and trusted Him as your Savior. I pray that there's been a day and a time if you've done that. If you haven't done that, then you need to do that today. You need to do that today. Okay? Now, of those that makes professions of faith, there's two types of branches. There's the branches that produce fruit, and then there's the branches that don't produce fruit. That's pretty much what you see, isn't it? In Christendom, and all those that profess, you got people that claim to be in Christ. They're a branch. They claim to be in Christ, but they don't produce any fruit. You look at their life, you can't see any difference in them in the world. They act like it, speak like it, do like it. Goals are like it. They don't mind the things of the Lord. They don't care about spiritual things, but they claim to be in who? They claim to be in Christ. Okay? Then you got the other type of branches, and it's the branches that produce fruit. Everybody see that? Let's look at that now in verse 2. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, what does he do to it? He takes it away. Takes it away. Here's a branch. Here comes out. It's withered away. It's brown. It's not producing anything. What does the husbandman do? He takes it away. Look down at verse 6. If any man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch, and he's withered, and men gather them, and they cast them into the fire, and they are burned. And they are burned. You say, well, Jeff, what's these branches picture? The fruitless branches is a picture of those that profess faith in Jesus Christ, but at the same time, they don't have no changed life. There's no change there. It didn't change the way they acted. It didn't change the way they talked. It didn't change their wonder. You know you got a wonder? You know when you've had a new birth, he changes your wonder. You want to serve him. You want to please him. You want to do with the rest of your days, you want to serve the Lord. That's a wonder. It basically means a fruitless branch is the same thing that you have in James chapter 2. In James chapter 2, it talks about those that say they have faith, but they don't have any what? They don't have any works. They have none. You don't see any. There's no change. There's no lifestyle. There's no desire to serve the Lord. They look like the world, act like the world. It's the same picture, just in two different places. A true living faith. You mean, and I've said this to you how many times over the year. A true living faith will change you. And I'm going to say this one more time for the 1,000,000th time. If your profession didn't change you, there's something wrong with it. Because it will. It'll produce evidence. It'll produce a changed life. It will produce... You say, well, Jeff, you're not saved by your works. We know that. You're saved by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. But there's a verse 10 that goes with that. There's a verse 10 that goes with that. And verse 10 of Ephesians 2 says that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We're not saved by works, Those that's had a new birth do good works. So these fruitless branches are those that claim to be in Christ, but they don't produce anything. You see, if you're truly in Christ, there will be produce comes off that branch. There'll be a changed life that comes off that branch. You say, are you saying you don't ever sin? Well, of course not. You're still walking in flesh. But after you're saved and you sin, it bothers you. It grieves your soul. Hurts you. See what I mean? Because you have a changed life. That text is a warning. I believe that text is a warning. And I think that text addresses all those that have made a profession, but it's just like James 2, it's dead. And it just don't ever produce anything. They don't want to. They don't spend no time with the Lord. They don't care about the things of God, but they have a profession, claim to be any, but it didn't change them. That's who the fruitless branches are. I pray that you ain't a fruitless branch. If you're truly saved and you become unfruitful, I mean, you know what the Master will do? You know what the Father will do? He'll whip you. He won't allow His children to do that. He wants you serving Him so that you'll bring glory, honor. And let me tell you something now, folks, and you're going to see this later. If you're truly saved, you're not happy unless you're serving Him. You're not happy unless you are. You get your greatest joy out of being close to Him. So you wouldn't be happy being a fruitless branch if you're really in the vine. Okay? All right, let's leave that because I haven't got the time to... I've pounded that in the ground this past 2 or 3 years because I see it's a problem. I see it's a problem, especially today it's a problem. Now let's look at the fruitful branch. Everybody look at that now. See the unfruitful one? What happens to the unfruitful branch? It's cut off. Do you ever do that to a tree or a branch? It dies, it's not producing all you do with it. Cut it off. It's not a part. See? That's the idea of that. And if someone claims to be in Christ and they don't produce fruit, there's something wrong there. So that's what that same thing as James 2. Now let's talk a little bit about the fruitful branch. Well, we want to bear fruit. We're going to look at the key to bearing fruit here in just a little bit, but we're just leading up to that. We're just looking at the branches. And what I'm asking you this morning is, what kind of branch are you? If you've made a profession, what kind of branch are you? Are you fruitful or are you unfruitful? That's a good question, isn't it? That's what he's showing you in verse 2. All right, now it says the fruitful branch in verse 2, it says he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. Now we understand that too. It prunes you. To purge it means to clean it or to prune it. Now, I hate to tell this on myself, but when I did plant some tomato plants, Hector, we planted some in the backyard, about 6 of them. And I was talking to Denver, and they come up, and it's looking good. And he said, well, did you get the suckers off of it? And I thought, why? Did I need to get 7 dust to kill these suckers? I thought it was a bug or something. But anyhow, I shouldn't even told that on myself. I'll go out over. Anyhow, but a sucker sucks all the what? It's a dead it's a piece that comes off a branch that sucks its strength. And if you get rid of the suckers, it makes the plant more what? It makes it more fruitful. Everybody in the house knows that. Jesus is using that as an illustration. You got to get rid of the suckers. You got to get the suckers off those plants, off those vines, because if you get the suckers off there, it'll make that vine more what? More fruitful. Well, if you're in Christ and you're producing fruit, and if you're truly in Christ, you will be producing fruit. But sometimes, you know what we have? We get suckers. We get things in our life that sucks our strength and our vitality. And if we would get those things out of our life, it would make us what? More fruitful. Fruitful now, but we could be more fruitful if we would get the suckers out of our life. What is your sucker? What is that in your life that you could be a better Christian, you could be closer to the Lord, you could have a greater impact in the cause of Christ? What is that that's in there that's sucking your strength and making you less fruitful than you should be? Well, I'm going to be honest with you. If you have them, the husband will take his knife out and he'll cut them off. He'll get rid of those. Now, you know how he does that, don't you? Well, he'll bring you to a service like this one sometimes, and there'll be a preacher that will point out that there's something in your life there that's taken away from you being fruitful. You need to get rid of that thing. You need to prune it off. He does that different ways. But the main way he gets rid of it, look down at the next verse. I think this is pretty good. If you look down at the next verse, verse 3, now ye are clean. Now ye are clean. Now the word clean is closely related to the word purge. Ye are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. You know the knife the Lord uses to cut the suckers away? Right here it is. He uses His word. He'll clean you with this thing. Sometimes you pick up things in your life that you need to get rid of. They may be secret sins. They may be things that no one else knows about but the Lord. And He'll point them out to you and He'll say, now listen here. This thing here needs to go in order for you to be close to Me like you need to be, in order to be in good fellowship like you need to be, in order to produce more fruit. You need to get this thing here out of your life. And He'll take it and preach a message on it, or you'll be reading the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit said, look here. You need to get this out of here. And He'll take His knife out. Here's the knife He uses. And He'll prune that sucker right out of there. Get rid of it. And then you get rid of it. You know what it does? It makes you stronger and more fruitful. You'd be surprised at how many things that sometimes gets attached to God's people's lives. If you just cut them away, it'll make you more fruitful and bring more glory to the name of our Father. Hey, what's life all about anyhow? Folks, we ain't here that long. I don't care how you slice it. We ain't here that long. There's an eternity out there. Do you believe in eternity? Man, I believe in eternity because the Scriptures reveal it. And my friend, while we're here, we're to serve the Lord. You need to be saved. And then you need to serve the Lord. You can't serve the Lord till you're saved. Now, after you're saved, now here's the mindset today. You're saved, then you sit the rest of your life and serve the world. That's not how it is. You're saved, and then with the rest of life, you're given the privilege of serving the Lord in whatever capacity He calls you to do. So, fruitful branches, you get the branches. The unfruitful branches are taken away. These are those that make professions of faith in Christ, but they don't change. Same way. So that doesn't change them. Look like the world, act like the world, speak. You know what I'm talking about. Just like the people in James 2. The fruitful branches, He says, I'm going to prune them. Because they'll get things in their life that needs to be out of the way in order for them to produce more fruit. Just like Hector said, when you clean the vines, it makes them more fruitful. What's the knife the Lord uses? There's the knife. Now, have you ever wondered why the devil tries to get you out of church? You ever wonder why he tries? If he gets you out of church, them suckers will get all over you. And you ain't getting them cut away. See? If he can get you out of church, he can make you so worldly and so worldly minded that you'll become unfruitful. And if you become unfruitful, you get a whipping. Lord will give you a whipping. He just don't let you become unfruitful. If you truly know Him, He'll come and get you. Just like your mom and dad did. He'll come around and get you. He doesn't allow you to run around here and do whatever you want to do. You are bought with a price. You belong to Him. You're His child. He loves you. Just don't let you go. Oh, God's people said. Isn't that wonderful? But I'm going to tell you one thing. He wants you to be fruitful in your life. Live for Him. Okay? Everybody got the difference between the two branches? Oh, let's move on to the key now. Let's move on to the key. And we'll try to do this quick, if at all possible for me to do it quick anymore. But let's go ahead and get this next one. Verse 4 and 5 gives you the key to producing fruit. If you want to be fruitful, here's the key. Now, let me say one more thing. If you don't care whether you're fruitful or not, then that shows you there's something wrong. I've run into I don't know how many that don't care whether they're fruitful or not. They got a profession, but they don't care. Then there's something wrong. You agree? Something bad wrong if you don't care. I care. I want to care about this thing. I want to bring glory to Him, and so should you. Here's the key, number one. Watch this. Abide in Me and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself. In other words, you don't have a branch hanging out here in midair, do you? The branch has to be in the vine. It has to maintain constant contact with the vine in order for it to produce fruit. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I'm the vine. You are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Oh, God's people said. That is so true. You can't do anything without him. But in order for you to produce anything, you've got to be in him. You've got to abide in him. You've got to maintain contact with him. You've got to maintain contact with him. Sometimes I'll weed eat up the house, and Debbie's got these plants. These look like plants, I guess. Sometimes I can't tell the difference between a plant and a weed. I mean, it's just they look that way, you know. And I'll weed eat down through there, and then I'll cut a piece off, a branch off. You ever cut a branch off a bush or off a tree when you're weed eating? You ever do it? Now, do you ever do what I do? I'll hide it up underneath there so she won't see it. And you can come back a week later and find that branch that's being severed from the trunk, and you know what it looks like? It's withered up and unfruitful. You ever seen one? You take a branch and you cut it off a tree. It might be green for a while, but eventually, if you sever it from the trunk, it's going to wither up and become unfruitful. In order for you to be fruitful as a Christian, you've got to maintain contact with Christ. It has to be a constant contact with Him. You say, well, Jeff, how do you keep contact with the Lord? One way is just through prayer. Prayer is how you stay in touch with Him. One of the ways. Prayer is one of the ways that you depend upon Him. Prayer is one of the ways that you cast your care upon Him. Prayer is one of the ways that you confess your sins to Him. Prayer is one of the ways that you pray for other people. You maintain contact through prayer. You know another way you maintain contact? His Word. You don't realize how much you need His Word after you're saved. It not only cleans you, but it strengthens you. It makes you more fruitful. You maintain contact with the Lord by maintaining contact with His Word. How about His house? We don't need this place, do we? I'm not talking about the building. We need a place to assemble where we can come in and be with other Christian people and other people so that we can hear and listen to the Word of God and encourage one another. You maintain contact with Christ by staying in His Word, staying in prayer, and staying in His house. And those are three things the devil goes after that you're saved. He'll try to get you out of His Word. He'll try to get you to stop praying. And he'll try to get you out of His house. And the moment he does those things, and that contact, it's just like taking a branch and severing it from the vine. You can watch it wither and become unfruitful and not do anything. See what happened? Contact was broken. Contact was broken. Key to producing fruit is maintaining contact with Christ. If you don't maintain contact with Him, you will become unfruitful in the Lord's work. Unfruitful. You'll become an unfruitful branch. And if you're truly in Him, then that'll bring, like I've already said, a whipping. Everybody see the key? We looked at the two branches. And we looked at the key to producing fruit is what? Contact. How's your contact? You know what's sad? Sometimes people, when they're saved so long and they understand the doctrines, they think they don't need to keep contact with the Lord then. They think they can miss God's house. I know it all now. I've arrived. I don't need it like I want. You always need God's house. I don't care how much you know. I don't care how much you know. I don't care how long you've been saved. You always need God's house. You always need to open this book up. I don't care if you've been saved 50 years. You always need daily to open this book up and read it. You always need to pray. If you don't maintain that close contact, you will become unfruitful. That's why this text is so important. But what I'm telling you, you know who else knows what I'm saying? Do you really know who else knows that? The devil does. And he'll do everything he can to sever that. Sever you. Get you out of church, away from God's people, away from God's Word, and away from contact with Him. He'll do everything he can to do that. Because he knows if he does, you'll become unfruitful. Okay, let's finish this. Let's look at the blessings. Let's look at the blessings of fruitfulness. We looked at the two types of branches. Remember, my question was, what type of branch of you? We look at the key to producing fruit. What is that? Contact. You can see it. This is a message you can see illustrated in any plant you look at. Ever you see a branch broke off, you'll think of this text. You'll see a withered branch, it's by the way, you'll think of this text and the importance of maintaining contact. All right, let's go ahead and look at the blessings. Are you ready? Let's look at them. Verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it will be done unto you. You'll have a more fruitful prayer life. Those that are in good fellowship with the Lord pray more in tune with the will of God. Those that are close to God pray more in tune with the will of God. 1 John 5 says, if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And when you're in fellowship with the Lord, you pray prayers that are more spiritual in nature, and you pray prayers that are more in tune with the will of God. When you get worldly, you pray worldly prayers that are out of the will of God, and therefore you don't see as many answered. Now, if there's Christians that pray, Lord, help me win the lottery, I ain't even going to comment on that. I'm going to leave that lay, or I don't want to get loud. I mean, let's move on. I wish they didn't use that as an illustration. That's a fleshy prayer. That's a worldly prayer. Okay? We're talking about when you're in tune with the Lord, you're praying prayers that are spiritual in nature. Praying for people, they'd be saved and be helped and eyes be opened. See? So you see more prayer. And you know what? People that are walking close to the Lord pray more anyhow. They pray more. Think about it. If you're maintaining contact with Christ, you're seeing more answers to prayers, not only because you're praying more in tune with His will, but you're praying more. You're praying more. I got a list, prayer list at home, and I looked at that today, and I got all these lists over here of things that I'm praying about. And I got a list this long right here of answers that I've seen this year. Things that people that's been saved and that I've been praying for, and people that, it's just unbelievable when you look at it. See more answered prayer when you're in contact with Christ. Number two, look at verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. The second blessing is you bring glory to the Father. I'm going to tell you something, folks. A lot of folks don't realize this, but this is true. Unbelievers will stand one day before the great white throne of judgment, and they'll answer for their sin. My sin's already been taken care of 2,000 years ago on the cross. So I'm going to answer for my sin. But I will give a reckoning for the life that I lived here after that I've been saved. Does everybody in the house know that? There will be a day that the saved stand before God, and they got to give a reckoning for the service that they rendered to the Lord. Paul said it in Romans 14, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, the judgment bema of Christ, the rewards table, so to speak. And then you have to give an accounting to Him for the life that you lived after that you were saved. And when you stand before Christ, blood bought, redeemed, He set His affection and love upon you, made you alive, called Him. When you stand before Christ, He ain't going to ask you how much money you made. Well, you know, Master, I made. He ain't going to ask you what kind of car you drove. He ain't going to ask you how many touchdowns you scored. Tis only one life, and it'll soon be past. Only that which is done for Christ is what'll last. Many people that claim to be branches waste their life on worldly things, that when that day comes, won't amount to nothing. Many people live their lives for things that don't amount to nothing. When you stand before the King, you want Him to be able to look at you and say, what? Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. We forget those things. The blessing of fruitfulness is not only a more productive prayer life, but it brings glory to God. And notice what else it says in that verse. So shall ye be my disciples. So shall ye be my disciples. Fruit bearing, I believe, is an indication of discipleship. Fruit bearing, I believe, is an indication of discipleship. I'm saying it one more time. Fruit bearing, I think, is an indication of being a disciple. Let me use you an illustration. Y'all remember old Zacchaeus? He was a heathen. He really was. He was a covetous old sinner. He was a tax collector. And he stole from folks. He took back more than he... You know, the Roman government would give him so much taxes to collect. They'd say collect $1,000. Old Zacchaeus collect $5,000. He stole from his own people. And if you lived back in his day, you wouldn't want nothing to do with him. If you was a Jew, because you'd have considered him a traitor anyhow. There was a day that Jesus went by one day, and old Zacchaeus had climbed up in a sycamore tree, and he said, Zacchaeus, called him by name. You come down. I'm going to your house today. And Jesus went to his house, and the Scriptures doesn't tell you what Jesus said. I'm sure Jesus presented to him the way of salvation. I have no doubt. When Jesus come out of there, he is a changed man. And when it come to the end of the dinner, you know what old Zacchaeus said? Lord, half my goods I've given to the poor. And if I've stolen anything by false accusation, I've restored it fourfold. If he stole $5 from you, he'd give you 20. So he'd be knocking on people's door, restoring all the stuff he stole back. You know what Jesus said? This day, salvation has come to this house. You're not saved by giving half your goods to the poor. But when you are saved, there will be an indication of fruit that shows that you have become a disciple. Fruit bearing is an indicator that you have become a disciple. Number four, next blessing. Number four. Look at verse 9. And the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. You know, whenever you're abiding in the vine and you're obeying the Lord and you're producing fruit, you know what you're aware of? You're aware of how much the Lord loves you. You're abiding in His love. You have more awareness of His love. You ever talk to anybody that breaks contact with the Lord? They stop going to His house, and they stop reading His Word, and they stop praying for the most part. You ever go visit anybody like that? And you'll go and say, brother, the Lord loves you. Yeah, He loves me all right. And they lose the awareness of just how much God loves them. But my friend, when you're close to the Lord and you're keeping contact with Christ, it just overwhelms you at times of just how much God loves you. I love to watch these old saints of God sometimes when they'll pray. They may not be long for this world, but when they pray and talk about Christ, then they talk about, Lord Jeff, I don't know how much. I don't know why He loves me so much or so aware of it. Why is that? Close contact. Makes you more aware of how much God loves you. Last of all, last fruit. This is the last one. I'll give them all to you again when I close here in just a minute. Notice what it says, verse 11. These things have I spoke. Here's the reason why He spoke this. Here's the reason, Eddie. He tells you the reason. These things have I spoken. Everybody see that in verse 11? These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your what? Joy may be full. You know, that's what everybody's looking for, isn't it? Everybody's looking for a full joy. They want to be filled with joy. Does anybody in the house know where that's found at? It ain't found up at the dog track. That's not a full joy. Even if you hit it big, it's going to be temporary. Even if you played a lottery and you win it, it's going to be temporary. It's not a full joy. It's not going to be found out at the bar either. If you get happy by going down there and drinking and carrying on, that's not going to be a full joy. It's not lasting. Anything, if you get, I get more money on my job, I'll have a full joy. It's be temporary. You'll want more money eventually. There's only one place that you can find a full joy. And that's by staying in contact with Jesus Christ. If you're here today and saved, and that contact with Christ gets broken, one of the first evidences is you'll lose your joy. You'll lose your happiness. You won't be happy. You can get a better job, a bigger car, and all these things. But if you truly know Christ, and that contact's been broken with Him, you will not have no joy till you're back where you need to be. Well, that preacher's changed. I used to enjoy sermons. I can't stand hearing him preach now. Well, I might not be the problem. You might be the problem. broke contact with Him. You don't, your spirituality has drifted because you don't ever spend no time with Him. You might not need a new preacher. You just might need to repent of your sin and renew your contact with Christ like it once was. And then you might even like what I say. You might even like what I say. You might figure out that point I'm preaching is the Scriptures. Full joy. I want to be full joy. I want to have a full joy. Full joy. Here's a lot of people that's saved that don't have a full joy. You know why that is? They're worldly. They went to the world. They come and drink from the fountain of living water and went out here and hewn out broken cisterns that don't hold any water. Wonder why they're not happy. I said this for years. After that, you're saved. The closer you are to Christ, the happier you'll be. And the more you drift away, the more unhappy you'll become. How many? I know that. I know. I've been there. I know that. If I'm close to Christ, I can make less on the iron and be happy. I've seen people in horrible circumstances that have been happy because they're close to the Lord. I've seen people make $6 an hour and close to the Lord and happy. Happy with what they have. Tickled to death to get a paycheck. And I've seen folks then think if they got down here at about $25 an hour, if I make that much, I'll be happy. They got down $25 an hour to get there. They forsook the house of God. They forsook the things of God. They forsook everything to do with the spiritual things. And they're miserable. They got a nicer car and they got more in the bank, but they're miserable. Why is that? Full joy is associated with contact with the vine. That's why it says, why did Jesus say He said this? That you have a full what? Full joy. You want to have a full joy, you keep contact with Me and you'll have joy. Independent of what you have, Brian. Independent of how much you own and independent of your circumstances. Isn't it wonderful? This is a very important message. I didn't preach it. Jesus did 2,000 years ago to His disciples. I just took His message and shared it with you today. In conclusion, what kind of branch are you? What kind of branch are you? Number two, do you have a full joy or have you lost your joy? You say, Jeff, I've lost my joy. I guarantee if you're saved, you've broke contact. You don't spend no time with the Lord no more. And that's why you're withering away. These things are important. These things are important. And now as we've come to an end, you need to examine yourself. Maybe the Lord took His knife out this morning and He's pouring off some of them suckers out of your life so that you'll be more fruitful. I pray that He has. Let's all stand.